Engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life. Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "This is my commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. There is no greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command you. I no longer speak of you as slaves, for a slave does not know what his master is about. Instead, I call you friends, since I have made known to you all that I heard from my Father. It was not you who chose me. It was I who chose you to go forth and bear fruit. Your fruit must endure, so that all you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. The command I give you is this, that you love one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Lord Jesus Christ.
My friends, whether you are citizens of the United States of America or of other nations in the world, this Memorial Day that the United States observes today has significance for all of us who believe in the gospel. We in America are commemorating those men and women who, whether as soldiers or sailors or airmen or Marines or Coast Guardsmen in any of the branches of the military of our great nation, have given their lives to defend this nation. This has significance for all of us because it conveys a key gospel truth that we just heard from the lips of Jesus, and because it manifests for the world those great principles that have drawn people to America from every corner of the globe. Those principles that our founding fathers, who were men of the Bible, understood and were guided by as they framed the founding documents of this great nation. So let's reflect on this together. Greater love no one has, says the Lord, than to lay down his life for his friends. The service that a person gives to their country and its founding principles of freedom and the right to life and justice and dependence upon God, that willingness to lay down one's life, that willingness to give the greatest and last full measure of devotion, is inspired by love. This is love. The best symbol of love is not the heart, it's the crucifix. Jesus teaches us the meaning of love by dying on the cross, and he says, look, the way I want you to love one another is the way I did. Give yourselves, be willing to risk everything so that others may live and flourish. We visit the graves of those servicemen and women who have died in all the wars that we have fought. This day, which was also called Decoration Day, originally started as a memorial for those who were killed in the Civil War, but then was expanded to include those who gave their lives in any of our wars. And this shows that kind of love that Jesus said is greater than any other. You lay down your life for your friends. Now, that's inspired by the desire for peace. Those who give their lives in service to their countries are defending justice and they're defending peace. They are defending freedom. They are defending life. It would be wrong to just think of warfare, although everyone acknowledges it is ugly and it is distressing and it is sad and it is tragic. And yet, to simply put war completely in the category of a moral evil misses the most fundamental point. As my mentor and ordaining bishop, Cardinal John O'Connor, had on his, as his motto as a bishop, there can be no peace without justice. Justice is the foundation. In other words, it's not enough to say to people, don't fight. What's more fundamental and more urgent is to make sure that the rights of the people that you don't want fighting with one another are secure so that they don't feel they need to fight. Preserving peace is not just a matter of banning war. It's a matter of securing justice. When we secure the rights of people and work for the prosperity of nations and give them the sense that while they have the help of the international community, they nevertheless also have the freedom to determine their own destinies, when there is that mutual respect and willingness to defend one another's rights, then we are lessening the temptation, we are lessening the need to resort to war. It's justice, not just peace. It's justice that we need to work for and secure. And it starts in the mind and heart. That's why Paul implores us in this reading to the Philippians, what are you directing your thoughts to? Don't direct your thoughts to how can I just do what I want, or how can I just keep accumulating material possessions, or how can I just get more and more and more and always receiving. This is what then leads to people being unjust to one another, and this is what leads to war. But Paul says, no, let your focus be on things that are true and honest and virtuous and worthy of praise. It is indeed an important day. Because in remembering these men and women, some of whom may be in your own families, among your own friends, and so many of whom we personally don't know their names, have never seen their faces. But today is a day of gratitude to all of them and to the God who inspired the love, the self-sacrifice, the very thing Jesus spoke of in this gospel in order to defend the rest of us. Now, friends, let's look a little bit at the roots of the nation that these men and women we remember today on this Memorial Day consists of. I want to look at a book here that I really strongly recommend to all of you. It's called Original Intent by historian and my friend and colleague David Barton. Original Intent, the subtitle, The Courts, the Constitution, and Religion. It really shows the religious commitment of the founders of the United States of America. And let me just read a couple of key insights from this book. Our founders in the United States did not found a democracy, as strange as that may sound. The word is used in a loose way. But if you get technical about it and specific, a democracy is not exactly what they founded. In fact, John Adams wrote this. Remember, democracy never lasts long. It soon wastes, exhausts, and murders itself. There never was a democracy yet that did not commit suicide. Because a pure democracy, which ours is not, operates by a direct majority vote of the people. And that's it. That's the only thing then that determines policy. An issue is to be decided, the entire population would vote on it, and the majority would rule. Now, the people have a voice, obviously, in our system of government, and we're always urging people to use that voice by becoming registered and informed voters. Of course, we have a say, and majorities do matter, but it's not democracy. It's a republic, and the difference there is in the source of the authority. In a republic, the people in the 50 states, remember, it's not just one mass of people just directly shaping public policy. It's much more complex than that. There are 50 states. Now, while we have our constitution in the United States, each of the 50 states has its constitution. While we have our chief executive in the United States, namely the president, each of the 50 states has its chief executive too, the governors. While we have a lawmaking body in the United States, namely the federal Congress, the House and the Senate, the two chambers of the U.S. Congress, each of the 50 states has its lawmaking body. The lawmakers, the state legislature, as it's called, 50 different ones. As the United States on the federal level has its court system, its Supreme Court and its other courts, so each one of the states has its Supreme Court and various other courts. This is the United States of America. So these 50 governing bodies connected together as one nation. And both on the state level and on the federal level, we the people, we the citizens, elect other people, fellow citizens, to represent us in those lawmaking bodies and to craft those laws, not without our input. In fact, together with registering and voting in an informed way, we also have to be lobbying, which means communicating with those lawmakers on the state level and on the federal level, to make sure they, who are supposed to be representing us and who work for us, not the other way around, understand what we think, know what we believe, see what we are committed to, and represent us accordingly. And yet, with all of this, it's not simply counting up a majority of people how they think that our laws and our public policies should be crafted. It's, again, the difference between a pure democracy and what we have, a constitutional republic. The difference is that at the source of the authority is God-given law, natural law. I said a moment ago our founders were men of the Bible. They really were. And they understood that it's not up to them, it's not up to the Congress, it's not up to the president, it's not up to the courts, it's not up to the state legislatures, it's not up to the governors to simply create law. It is also up to them to acknowledge law. There are laws of nature and of nature's God. Our founding documents talk about that. Laws of nature and of nature's God. Let me quote again some of the founders. James Wilson. Now, if you know American history, you're going to know these names right away. But James Wilson was one of the signers of the Constitution, and he was a United States Supreme Court justice. Listen to what he wrote. All laws may be arranged in two different classes. One, divine. Two, human. But it should also always be remembered that this law, natural or revealed, made for men or for nations, flows from the same divine source. It is the law of God. Human law must rest its authority ultimately upon the authority of that law which is divine. Alexander Hamilton, a signer of the Constitution, said, "The law dictated by God himself is, of course, superior in obligation to any other. It is binding over all the globe, in all countries, and at all times." And then listen carefully to this statement. "No human laws are of any validity if contrary to this." Want an example? A law that says it's okay to kill a baby in the womb by abortion. Killing a baby, no matter what the motive, no matter what the reason, no matter what the excuse, is always contrary to the laws of nature and of nature's God. And therefore, no human law can validly permit it. No court, no governor, no Congress, no president, no king can validly permit the killing of a baby. Our founders understood that in a republic, there are certain things which, even if the majority of the people thought they were okay, like abortion, they would not be okay and they should not become law. In fact, the church continues acknowledging this by teaching us that something like abortion, and there are many other examples, laws permitting these things are not laws at all. The law itself that purports to permit it becomes, in fact, an act of violence. My brothers and sisters, again, this book is called Original Intent by David Barton. Look it up. You'll be really, really happy that you did. Great, great source of understanding this great nation for which, again, the soldiers and the sailors and the airmen and the Marines and the Coast Guardsmen and all the members of the various branches of our military so generously gave their love and their lives for their families, for their friends, for their nation, and for their nation's future. What must we do in response? I want to take a lesson from our dollar bill. If you look carefully at the back of the dollar bill of our United States currency, there's a pyramid there. And the pyramid is incomplete. The very top part of it isn't finished building. Instead, you see the eye of God there, looking over the yet unfinished pyramid. And two Latin words are on top of it, anuit septis. He looks kindly on our undertakings, the things, the work that we have begun. He prospers it. He oversees it. This is the sense of that Latin phrase, anuit septis. We've worked. Our founding fathers have worked. And especially our servicemen and women who have given their lives in the wars we have fought to defend freedom and justice and truth and life, to defend this great republic. They have worked. The building of that pyramid, the preservation of our freedom over the years, over the generations, has been hard work. And every generation must work just as hard as the generation before it to accomplish those goals of defending life and defending freedom and defending faith, and defending our country. Defense is a good thing. Defense is a necessary thing. Defense is part of justice. Defense is part of love. We keep building. This is how to observe Memorial Day. Visit the graves of those who have died. Remember their stories. Read about their sacrifices. Teach your children and your grandchildren about these wars. Don't just let them walk away by saying, oh, war is a terrible thing. It has to be avoided. Let them see the beauty of the sacrifices that were made. Let them see the convincing, persuasive beauty of the convictions that led people to go into war and to lay down their lives. The convictions that freedom and justice and life must always be defended. And let's take a lesson from our Star-Spangled Banner, our national anthem. That first verse, of course, which is the one that is most well known, ends with a question. It talks about the flag still being there during the nighttime battle and the bombs bursting in air. And the question is this: oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave? Does it yet wave? Is it still there? Is it still flying because people are willing to give their lives to defend what it stands for? Does it yet wave? It's a question to us. And it's not just an informational question. It's a challenge. It's a summons. It's an invitation to have the same courage that those we memorialize today had. It's the same question that echoes to us right now, right here. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave? In other words, are you still fighting for freedom? Are you still sacrificing for justice? Do you still love it enough that you're willing to make the sacrifices each day of what we can all do, and whether you're in the military or not, to be willing to give your lives for what is true and right and just. As St. Paul wrote to the Philippians, think on these things, brothers and sisters. All that is true, all that deserves respect, all that is honest, pure, admirable, decent, virtuous, or worthy of praise, these are the things that were burning in the minds and hearts of those who gave their lives for this country and must burn in the minds and hearts of all of us who are citizens, and not only of this great nation, but of all the nations of the world. This is the only way that there can be peace on earth. And this is the only way that we can advance in the ways of the gospel as disciples of Jesus Christ, who taught, summoned us, and exemplified the greatest love anyone can have, to lay down his life for his friends. May you have a blessed Memorial Day.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.